Chris Schiller is here, or Christopher Schiller, the filmmaker.
Either one would work for me. Thank you.
Okay.
And we're happy to have him because he's here, and his film is going to receive a world premiere showing in Film Columbia's Film Festival that's happening this week and over the weekend.
Ellen, before we get
Chatham.
Before we get any further, I want to give him my headshot and resume, okay?
Okay, you're 8 by 12? 8
yes,
by 11?
Yes. My headshot.
Yeah.
Actually, I have multiple ones, me doing different moods.
And do you sign
angry?
Them?
No, that's for the fans.
Well, you know, anybody could be a fan.
No,
you never know where your next actor's
going
to come from.
When I'm going for, where I'm promoting myself as an actor, I show the various moods I can do.
I see.
Tom angry, Tom happy,
do
Tom
you,
sad.
Tom, do you give them a tape of your many voices?
No, I give them a reel of all my performances. You've seen them.
There was a
I've starred in many local videos. I'll have you know.
There was a short film festival here. What year was it in? It's eighth year or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And Tom is a star in one of those short films.
It's
called Stetson,
let's be more careful.
I'll keep an eye out for
it. I've been the star numerous times in numerous films submitted to that. I just wish my fame had extended beyond Hudson.
Well,
You never know.
So, let's hear about your film. Is it a narrative film?
It is. It's a short film. It is a narrative film called Key Transitions.
Mm-hmm.
It was, in essence, it was one of those things that you intend to make a film for one reason, and then you think about that first reason, and you realize, I can make this even more. The initial reason were my two main characters, the two stars of my film, are David Bunce and Yvonne Perry. And they are local to the community actors who've been journeyman actors. They've been wonderful on stage, on TV screens, and in feature films for years. Have worked on each other's projects, but had never worked together in the same screen time. So they never shared screen time together. And I thought that these two actors were consummate and wonderful, and the fact that they've never been able to play off of each other on screen was a travesty, and somebody should do something about that. And unless somebody does it before I do, that was my main motivation mm-hmm. to come up with a project that would be good enough for both of them. So after a while of thinking about what kind of topic matter would work and what kind of screenplay would give them something to really chew on, I came up with the idea of the universal theme of what happens when a tragic loss suddenly happens to people. We all go through or know someone who's gone through a tragic sudden loss, and it seems to rip your world in half. The life that you could have led versus the life that you now have to lead after the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And how that reflects on the couple just gave me such dynamic presence to be able to give these two actors this play back and forth. And so that was the germ because I had them in mind when I created the piece. I made sure that they were involved in the entire development of the script. And so by working it and workshopping it with the two actors to come up with something that they felt good about and that I felt good about and stretched us all in its execution.
So you see this very much as an actor's piece, sort of.
It really has to be an actor's piece in the sense of what it is that was being approached and I need to challenge was these are really good actors. And so I needed to have something that could be described as an actor's piece. Mm-hmm. But the secret about that is that every great actor's piece is a fantastic audience piece to watch those actors mm-hmm. go through that and to feel those emotions on screen. And so to say it's an actor's piece when you have really good actors is
right. I guess what I was trying to distinguish it from is, you know, something that just shows off your fancy visual technique and editing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's not an action piece in the sense that it's not a Michael Bay where you've got a lot of eye candy and popcorn perspective. It's a deliberate pace, and it gives you an awful lot to think about, in even though it only runs 12 minutes.
And you developed it or brought it also to Scott Cohen's screenwriting panel that takes place at the Chatham Film Festival.
So this is
every
part
year.
Of the history of the festival itself. I mean, it's kind of embedded in the history.
Yeah, it's wonderful that it's showing at the film festival on Saturday, because 2 years ago when we were developing the script and it had gotten to a decent point, the film festival was happening and Scott Cohen's screenwriting panel was happening, and I've always been an attendee that enjoyed going to Scott's screenwriting panel and brought some scripts in the past. So it just was a natural occurrence to bring this workshopped piece to Scott Cohen's panel. And if you're not familiar with Scott Cohen's screenwriting panel at the Chatham Film Festival, I mean the Film Columbia Film Festival in Chatham and Hudson, Scott Cohen brings a 10 or a dozen actors of great note and quality and a variety, so that you bring, as a writer, you bring a few pages of your script and give it to these strong actors to be able to voice your script. The problems with being a writer is that often the only voices you ever hear are inside your head. It's difficult to really imagine how it will play out and how the wonderful words that sit on the page, are they going to trip up an actor trying to deliver them? Or are the emotion and intent that you have on the page, is it coming across to someone who's taking a cold read look at it? And these are professionals who are used to looking at a screenplay and used to knowing when it's working or when it's not working, can give you some pointers as to how to make it better.
So what was your actual experience in the panel? What did you learn when you were in Scott Cohen's panel? Do you recall how that went?
Yeah, it had several key wonderful aspects to it. One, it was well received by not only the actors on the panel, but also the audience that was there to listen to this stuff. And it's a wonderful experience, even if you're not a screenwriter, to go to hear a brand new work being presented. And when the actors embodied these characters, it's five total people on screen, they gave the heart and soul that I thought was on the page, but it certainly came across with people who were reading the script, and their feedback was that I was definitely on the right track, that the script was working in its structure. And in fact, one of the actors was Lee Strimbeck, and I had not met Lee before. I had not seen any of her work before. But when she was handed the script to read one of the parts in the play, I was impressed enough to actually cast her as one of the supporting characters in the actual shooting. So it was one of those moments of serendipity that just happened on the site, that Lee was able to embody, and she wasn't reading the part she eventually played, but I could see that that she could embody the character that was on the page and to do the work. And so I have David and Yvonne and Lee, and the rest of the cast is John Romeo and Rich Lanello. All of these people are local actors. They all are fantastic working actors, and in fact, many of them won't be able to come to the world premiere because they're busy working on other projects. But they all are supportive of the piece and all felt challenged by the piece, which is always something that makes you feel good as a writer, that actors are enthused to play your parts and put them on the page.
Now, is this a short film that you see developable into a feature-length movie?
The way I approach filmmaking, and I'm an entertainment attorney by trade, and I deal with and talk to a lot of filmmakers and work with them to get their pieces out. And everything should have a goal of what it needs to be. And I approach my own short films as short films as intended. So that is what they are in their purest form. And so this piece, although the concepts behind it could be expanded and embellished upon, this piece is strong in staying true to what it is in the form that it is. So the 12 minutes is the entirety of that note.
What's the future for an 11-minute film? I mean, can you, you're in this one film festival. Is it playable at other film festivals? I mean, is this, how does it work when you have a 11-minute narrative film?
You go to the Spotty Dog Short Film Festival, among others.
Well, there are a number of film festivals out there, and nowadays, as opposed to even just a few years ago, there are a number of outlets for distributing short films. The internet has broadened out the opportunity for short films to have a much larger audience and possible platforms.
Can you recoup your expenses?
Well, you can't even do that on most feature films. So it's always a hope and a goal that you can somehow put things together and try and get your money back. But I don't know a single filmmaker that is only making films to make money. It's the nicety, that's the bonus that you get if you've got a film that's true to your heart and you've put all the effort into making art, and you eventually make enough money to go out and make some more.
How many films have you made?
I've lost track of how many films I've made. I've been making films for myself for over a decade. Just a few here and there along the way. I have worked on quite a number of other people's productions in various capacities. It's kind of the independent film market in this area. You end up becoming a jack of all trades, and so you learn a lot of different tasks. And I've been a cinematographer, editor. I'm a colorist on a feature film at the moment for another filmmaker. I have picked up a few hats here and there, and it just depends on what I'm doing. In fact, just this last week, they wrapped a feature film from Hollywood that was shooting in the Albany and Troy area, and I was the production counsel for that film. So I have been around a lot of films, so I've been involved in filmmaking for quite a while.
So there you go, Tom. If you ever need a lawyer to get the film Stetson to a broader market.
Right, and I need somebody to, you know, I got the agent, I got the manager. I need a lawyer now, you know, just to make sure I get a good deal.
It's going to his head.
Yes.
When you say local talent, what do you mean? Do you mean regional or Hudson Valley, or how far are you reaching?
My legal practice is in Albany based. But I represent people throughout the area, and I know how hung up some people get on the names you attach to. Is it Hudson Valley? Is it Capital Region? Is it upstate New York? And it's one of those aspects that about the only thing that really matters to the industry is it's not in New York City and it's not in L.A. Everything else is a local production.
Okay.
So if I kind of am vague and use the term local, it's a broad umbrella that covers everything. I have clients and coworkers in Poughkeepsie and some in Saratoga, and as far
it's
as
pretty
you,
local,
yeah, it's around the but the key and the reason that my practice is based in Albany is because there are a wondrous number of good filmmakers and actors and crew people just in this area, enough to make films. And that's one of the things that's attracting feature films for this area, is that when those filmmakers come from New York or Los Angeles, they recognize the talent when they see the pool available mm-hmm. to fill those extra roles that they have in the film, in the feature film roles.
And we have a great prop shop in all the antique stores here.
Now, props, locations, having the right crew that can fill in for the things so you don't have to bring everybody up mm-hmm. from the city or from the West Coast, that resonates. There are a lot of people who are going to come back for their second and third and fourth film, and it'll be a lot easier. They'll bring a lot fewer people. They'll know that they can rely on the locals, as they call them,
right,
to be able to supply good quality that they would be able to get in Los Angeles if they were shooting in Los Angeles, but they get all the extras and all the wonderfulness of shooting on location in these places.
And more cheaply. So, once again, your film called
Key Transitions.
Key Transitions is premiering Saturday?
Saturday
world
at
premiere.
The world premiere.
World premiere.
Wow.
Saturday at 2:30 at the Morris.
Morris Memorial in Chatham.
In Chatham.
Key Transitions.
And Scott Cohen's
screenwriting
panel. Sorry, had a lapse.
That's okay, Ellen.
Is going to be going again this year, twice, on Saturday at 10 o'clock at Tracy Memorial in Chatham and 2 p.m. at the Hudson Opera House in Hudson. So people will have a great opportunity, even if they're not in the biz, so to speak, to sit in and listen to how at least one part of movie making. It's really fascinating, I think, to see what the insights are by the actors especially.
Hey, Ellen, I hate to interrupt you, but do you know Catherine Laity by any chance?
How is it spelled?
L-A-I-T-Y. Might be Lady. Laity.
No, I don't.
Well, in any case, let's thank her because she went online during our show to mm-hmm. donate.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. WGXC.com/donate, or you can call in here 697-7400.
That's right.
And you know, part of our local interest is to interview people who are doing things locally, like our guest Chris Schiller, who has just who's going to show his film for the first time to the public, called Key Transitions, this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. at the Morris Theater in Chatham.
Morris Memorial.
Oh, mm-hmm. There you go. You always have more information, Ellen. You're the best.
Except when I forget the title. 697-7400.
Yeah. You know, we have to keep it all alive. Local filmmaking, local radio, because we, too, are in the entertainment business, and you are very entertaining, Ellen, I have to admit.
Oh, yes, sure. Sure, sure. I'll take that.
But we do more than just entertain, right? Don't we?
We try to impart information that
is right.
Useful.
I forgot. You do that.
Well,
I try to make up stuff.
Think about the people we've had in here to talk about the emerald ash borer.
That was fascinating. Did I sleep through that? I can't remember that.
The ash trees were in great jeopardy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you were on hiatus that time.
I love when you say hiatus.
We talked about Lyme. Lyme disease.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all of those things.
That's great.
They're important issues.
Yeah, they are.
We do try to stay away from politics.
Well, speak for yourself.
At least I try to stay away from politics. but we do talk about low-income housing mm-hmm. and all other kinds of things that are of interest to our listenership.
So funny. We have such a different views of this show. I think of all the drag queens and prostitutes and all those people have come in.
Really?
Alcoholics.
When? I guess I wasn't
yeah,
here.
You were not here during that time. But it's fine. That just shows the variety we have here. You know what I mean?
All are welcome.
That's right. And Chris falls somewhere in between. He's a filmmaker.
Yeah, but he's also a lawyer.
Yeah, well, that kind of puts him down with the... Never mind.
Well, you have to earn a living.
That's right.
A girl has to earn a living.
That's what I keep telling my wife.
Yeah, it's one of those aspects of the job of entertainment attorney in that I deal with an awful lot of the entire spectrum of entertainment. And so, as you said, entertainment is everything. It's definitely opening up and talking to people who, several of the films that are at the Film Columbia, deal with topics and people that aren't mainstream. And being able to talk about things like, in fact, the Film Columbia's 5 p.m. showing in Hudson on Saturday is I Am Cuba.
We were talking about that earlier, yeah. Right. That sounds really great. Yeah.
And the fact that they weren't able to talk about, and when he made the film, he wasn't able to show it, and now he's able to bring it back because of the love of filmmakers, and who knew the kinds of connections that they would make. So
what was the process for your film getting selected for the festival? Bribes?
It was not bribes. Definitely not bribes. I have not the budget for bribes. So,
People come cheap around this place.
Yeah. It was a matter of following the procedures of submitting my film to the different film festivals.
What did you shoot it on?
We shot it on a Red Dragon, an Epic Dragon camera. It's 6K. The same kind of camera that is shooting feature films all around the globe. Happens that our cinematographer, Sean Schaefer, is an owner and operator of a fantastic camera, and he's also a local, in the broad sense of the term local.
He actually owns this dragon?
Yeah, he owns a dragon, and he tames it, and he brings it on set, and it doesn't do too much damage. But it takes some wonderful photographs, and the images are fantastic, and it's goes to something I heard a famous filmmaker once say: it doesn't matter what you shoot it on. If you have a good story, you can tell that story, and somebody will want to listen and watch it. And so
that's right. I prefer to shoot in 8mm.
That is it. There have been some fantastic films that have been used on, VHS. And if it's the right story and you've got passion behind telling it, that'll work for you.
Well, the film choices, as I understand it, for the festival are made by three people sitting in a room. Three people in a room.
Mm. Sounds like fun.
Peter Biskind, who we've had on the program. Calliope Nicholas.
We've had her on the program also.
And Larry Kardish, who used to be the film and media maven at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. And that's a pretty weighty group of people to get by. So congratulations.
Thank you. It's one of those feathers in your cap that any film festival is selective by its nature, because there are tons of films out there, and being able to be selected in a selective film festival like Film Columbia is definitely a high point of.
I know that Larry and Peter go to a lot of film festivals. Do you think the other film festivals will be coming to the Chatham Film Festival to see your film, perhaps?
Possibly.
After all, it's a world premiere.
Possibly. I, as the entertainment attorney side of my business, and because I'm a columnist at Script Magazine, I attend a lot of film festivals throughout the years. And actually, Film Columbia is one of my favorites because of the way it is selective and high quality, and there's also that it's cinema goers focused. So it's made for the people who are sitting in the audience. And those people will have an enjoyable time every time they come and see it. And I'm glad that it is expanded over the last couple of years to include Hudson in that, bringing the audience even closer to those films that are out there.
Because the people in Hudson are much hipper than the Chatham people. We've been talking to Christopher Schiller, whose short feature, Key Transitions, is premiering Saturday at 2:30 p.m. at the Morris Memorial Theater in Chatham. And I hate to cut this short, but we have to get back to grubbing for money. So,
that's right.
But anything else you'd like to add? Or are you...
I like the fact that you guys are asking for money for radio to be as unique and independent as everything else that should that is worth putting on the air. So I am applaud the fact that we still have these kinds of radio stations.
Yeah. Any free legal advice you want to give us?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I'm going to put on a little music while we say goodbye to
our
guests.
Can I just say one other thing?
Well, if you must.
The film festival, to find out the schedule, to buy tickets, filmcolumbia.org. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Go online and get your tickets fast, and also because it ends on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But you'll find the schedule there. Thank you very much, Chris.